You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Monday, December 17th.
That means...
Oh,
antiphons.
Did you like that? I tried to make a transition. Oh, you were supposed to say antiphons.
Oh, sorry. Oh.
Didn't follow my lead
now
there.
Now every time I say that today.
Oh.
Antiphons. There you go.
Monday, December 17th. Yes. Oh, antiphons. So now the Bates family is legit. We've been singing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel for like... since the beginning of Advent.
So now you're allowed.
Now we're
today.
Allowed to sing it, apparently,
but you have to
liturgically.
Start with the second verse and sing the first verse on the last day.
That's
if you're really going to do it right.
Oh, boy. That's so confusing. We'll just keep singing the first stanza over and over again like we've been doing. Two great topics on deck today. The O antiphons coming up in just a little bit, and worker wellness. We've been talking with Deaconess Heidi Gaiman about worker wellness, and want to point you to a wealth of resources available to a worker wellness. And why is it important? That's the big question. Why is worker wellness important? So thanks so much for joining us, and thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for underwriting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. In studio today to talk about worker wellness with us, the Reverend Joel Hempel. He's director and religious endorser of the LCMS Specialized Pastoral Ministry, and glad to have you in studio this morning. Joel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Very good to be here.
There are probably like a bunch of other things that go with that title as well. How many other duties fall on your plate besides religious endorser?
That's it. Like any other pastor, I work an hour a week and hang it up. And unless I get called into the studio.
That answers...
Then we add 12 minutes to your work week. Oh, man.
Boy, oh, boy. Misconceptions. That's on the list today of questions about worker wellness. Misconceptions about church worker wellness. Because pastors only work 1 hour a week, right?
Absolutely.
Unless you have a slightly longer, maybe you have baptism and communion on that Sunday, and it might be slightly longer than an hour.
That's a painful week, but we manage.
We're
starting off Monday strong today.
Yeah. Like coffee.
Maybe I'll do away with the sarcasm.
Okay. So, worker wellness, church worker wellness.
I get serious now.
How does, let's start with this. How does church worker wellness affect the wellness of a congregation? What is there a relationship between the wellness of the worker and the wellness of the congregation?
Well, think about who is leading the congregation. Obviously, they're elected leaders, but the pastor typically is a spiritual leader or should be the spiritual leader of the congregation. And in many congregations, is expected to be the administrator for the congregation and many other things, as you were asking me about my job and your job, and it has various facets. And so if the pastor or the deaconess or the teachers within the school or the principal is struggling with some particular emotional issue, relational issue at home, perhaps financially they're burdened, it's going to affect their ministry. It will begin oppressing them, and therefore it will begin depressing them and their ministry.
Mm-hmm. How much, I feel like this isn't something that congregations, and this is, we're talking about it more now, but it's not something that congregations often think about, probably, because we do often, I mean, we joke about pastor working 1 hour a week, but a lot of people, I feel like, still actually believe that.
Well, so much is behind the scenes.
Right,
so much is private.
We don't see so much of it.
Yeah, and personal too, in terms of the pastoral care that's provided. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What are some of those other misconceptions about church workers and church worker wellness?
Well, about church workers, I mean, one of the misconceptions is that a worker, here I'm thinking of a parish pastor at this point, can do everything well. Mm. And in all these areas of ministry, evangelism, youth ministry, teaching, preaching, preparing a message, delivering a message, which is very different delivering than preparing, administration, stewardship, all of these facets of ministry that he's going to be excellent at or should be, or counseling, for example, or pastoral care. And you come out of the seminary with an excellent foundation, theological foundation, and you have many practical courses, but many of these courses are an introduction to these various areas of ministry, and you really have no expertise in it. But as soon as you darken the doorways of the church it's expected that you can assume that kind of leadership. That those expectations alone can be burdensome for a minister who takes them on without talking with the leaders of the congregation about his or her limitations and where they're gifted and where they're not gifted. And if you aren't open about these things in yourself, especially with your elders, it can become very problematic with what congregations expect and what you actually can produce.
The list of things that you just shared that just speaking of pastors, for example, what is expected of them, they may be strong in one area, but other areas may take a lot of extra effort, a lot of extra time, and a lot of energy and emotional energy in a sense too. I know a lot of just a lot of effort that goes into it, and sometimes we don't realize that. We just think, he's a pastor, he does all these things, and he should be good at all those things, and not recognizing that some of those things are going to take more energy, more time, or more experience before he's really comfortable at it, and not thinking about how he may feel exhausted from some of those things, from the extra energy that it takes to do those things. He might be really good at preaching, but, making visits might take a ton of extra energy for him.
And it also requires self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And pastors and other leaders in the church, other workers in the church, aren't necessarily self-aware. That requires a kind of introspection and a willingness to be honest with yourself and your limitations as well as your strengths. And so I believe it is helpful when elders in the congregation can be honest with the pastor or the teacher or the principal and sit down with them and say, let's talk about your strength and limitations. And if there are certain limitations which we know you have, let's see how we can be supportive of that. Or if there's some additional training that it would be helpful for you to receive, we can arrange for that and provide for that continuing education. If you need to hand off a certain area of ministry to someone else, well, let's do that intentionally and communicate that to the congregation so they don't expect you to be doing something that really we want somebody else to do who can do it more effectively.
So I think what I'm hearing is that more common areas of stress for church workers is when expectations don't necessarily match up with ability. I'm using hand gestures in studio. That really just doesn't work very well for radio or podcast, does it?
It worked for me, though.
But do you think that's true, that probably one of the biggest stressors for church workers is that there may be the set of expectations and even expectations that we have of ourselves, mm-hmm. and the abilities that we have to meet those expectations? I know I can do it. It's just going to take more time. And then that just becomes exhausting.
Well, and also the expectation that ministers should never be exhausted or that ministers should not be burdened by whatever their responsibilities may be, mm-hmm. or that the expectation that their marriage should be perfect and that their children should be just in line at all times, or the expectation that they should always be emotionally intact. And those, that's just not true, because they're human beings. And life is going to impact them. Losses, they will experience losses in life, and they're going to suffer from those like everybody else. And they need pastoral care. I have in front of me a printout of what's going to be the insert for the paper reporter in January next month. And that insert is all about worker wellness. And one of the things that, there are a number of things in that are very telling. And it says, for example, that 34% of commissioned workers and 45% of ordained ministers lack pastoral care. They don't have. Now think about this. Think about the numbers. Now we hear 34%, 45%. What is that? That's just a number. But think of that in terms of 13,000 ministers. That's how many we have of ordained and commissioned ministers. I'm not very good at math, but you do 45%. 45% of 13,000. That's a lot of people who do not have the spiritual and pastoral care that they need, that they want to provide everybody else. So, you know, that's just one example of here's another one, that 40% of our ministers, commissioned and ordained, question whether their ministry has any impact. I mean, when I read that, we did a survey last year that identified these needs. And when I read that, it brought tears in my eyes because I'm thinking, there's a lot of people who think it doesn't matter what they're doing. And so that is pain. And I think the congregations who care about their ministers need to be aware that whatever the face, whatever kind of face their ministers put on Sunday morning does not necessarily represent what's going on inside of them. And somebody needs to have a serious conversation with them and ask them, how are you doing? And don't let them get away with, fine, thank you.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So often we put our ministers and church workers up probably on a pedestal because we don't necessarily see everything that they're doing and we expect them to be good. But they're sinners just like the rest of us. There's a new website that I want to get to before we run out of time, lcms.org/wellness. What are the resources that are available on this website?
Well, the website is built around the wholeness wheel, which has 7 emphases, and I wrote it down because I'm always forgetting one or the other. It's these are the 7 different areas: spiritual, relational, emotional, vocational, financial, physical, and intellectual well-being. And so the web page is built around those emphases plus congregational well-being, an 8th emphasis. And we are identifying, Deaconess Heidi Gaiman has done a wonderful job of helping us identify resources within the Missouri Synod, and a lot of links to various RSOs and partners in the Missouri Synod who have provided a service or a resource in one of those areas or many of those areas. And we look outside of the Missouri Synod, too, for resources that we can bring in and make available to people. And so if listeners have ideas, if they go to that webpage and they don't see something that should be there, we've already started hearing that, let us know. Contact us because we want to know and want to grow that webpage.
And there's a contact link right there on the webpage I saw earlier as well.
Yes.
Very good. The Reverend Joel Hempel, Director and Religious Endorser of LCMS Specialized Pastoral Ministry. Thank you so much for pointing us to lcms.org/wellness today.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Antiphons. You listen to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.